Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Network. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School and the Supply Center. The Law Hour is an educational service with public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on natural remedies when we come back. You know, when the federal income tax was launched back in 1913, the tax was levied only upon the super wealthy, the richest one-half of 1% of our population. The top tax rate was only 7%. Now, today, of course, the fears of those early opponents of the income tax have been more than fully realized. By the end of Herbert Hoover's term, the top rate had jumped to 60%, and by the time Franklin Roosevelt was over, the top rate was over 90%, and the tax had been dramatically expanded to seize the incomes of the middle class for the first time. Now, in 1913, the average family had to work until January 30th to earn enough to satisfy the tax man at all levels. This year, the average American family, had to work all the way through May 12th in order to earn enough to pay their federal, state, and local tax bills. Now, when you compare this to the plight of medieval serfs, says economist Daniel J. Mitchell, they only had to give the lord of the manor a third of their output, and they were considered slaves. So what does that make us? Now, this income tax and Social Security tax violate three of the Ten Commandments. It violates eight statutes of the Old Covenant, and it violates our English common law. Now, the income tax and Social Security tax are two criminal activities. The income tax is the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. Social Security is the eighth plank. And that's why I contend that you owe it to yourself to at least ask the question, do I really want to participate in this kind of criminal activity? Now, if you'd like more information about tax and status, why don't you call the law school at 417-273-4967 and be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. Remember, it's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative. Best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and Status, that's our school. Tax and Status is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send an email request for that free general law CD package. That's the place to start. Remember, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, we've been talking about natural remedies. It comes from the Natural Remedy Encyclopedia. It's not a 1 in 100 read. It's about a 1 in 20. I have a number of books here in my library that deal with natural remedies. They aren't all called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, obviously, but there's a number of books that are out on the market that talk about vitamins and minerals and diseases and what causes those diseases and what herbs you should take to counter those diseases. And my point is that long before allopathic medicine came along, about 1900, you know, for thousands of years, people have had to deal with all of these various and sundry diseases. You know, diabetes has been around forever. It didn't afflict as many people as it does today, but diabetes has been around. You can dig up old mummies out in Egypt and bring them in and do an autopsy on those bodies, and you find that they had all kinds of diseases that we have today, including diabetes, of all things. But what causes diabetes, and how do you treat it without the insulin shots? How do you cure diabetes? How do you cure Alzheimer's disease? How do you cure someone that has autism or asthma? Now, we talked about scurvy. You see, scurvy is relatively easy. Beriberi, there's 50 diseases out there that are nutritional diseases. They are shortages of vitamins and minerals. That's easy to cure. Just give the patient some of those vitamins and minerals that they're missing, and the disease goes away. The more difficult diseases are the diseases that are like cancer and heart attack. They're called degenerative diseases. These diseases are caused by poisons. Poisons that are fairly innocuous. For instance, did you know that fat, animal fat, I mean that gooey, globby, yellow, snotty-looking fat that comes off of a cow's carcass is poison? Did you know that? Well, it's poison to human beings. Now, it's good food for dogs and buzzards. But human beings only have about a 25-foot gut. Or I should put it the other way, I guess. Human beings have a pretty long gut. It's about 25 feet. And a dog has a very short gut. It's only about 11 feet or about half as long. And a dog has prodigious quantities of hydrochloric acid. So when a dog eats, you know, dead carrion, the hydrochloric acid immediately gets on that feed food carrion, and it disinfects it. So the dog, the buzzard, the coyote, the wolf, isn't affected. But boy, we get ptomaine poisoning if we eat food that's tainted. So human beings come up with various and sundry maladies caused by bad food. Now, in the Bible, I know this is wild and way out in left field, but in the Bible, there's a statute in Leviticus 3, verse 17 that says you shall eat no manner of fat. You shall eat no manner of fat. Very important law. And that's because fat is poison to humans. Good food for buzzards, good food for coyotes, good food for dogs and wolves, bad food for humans. Now, we humans eat a lot of fat. When we go to McDonald's, we eat 30% fat by weight in the hamburger. That hamburger has 30% fat in it. Now, that fat goes through your digestive system, and it's absorbed into your body. And there's 55 other reasons why fat's bad for you, but that fat plugs up your vein, increases your cholesterol, it plugs up your arteries and veins and gives you cataracts. This is why so many people need cataract surgery. And it plugs up your arteries and gives you heart attack and stroke. This is why we have the highest incidence of cardiovascular disease in the world, is here in the United States, where we have the highest consumption of animal fats of any society in the world. That's right here in the USA, we Americans. So there's a cause and effect relationship that creates these degenerative diseases. Now, I've had students come here. I had one time, he was a pretty funny guy. Nobody's going to tell me what to eat, he said. Nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Well, okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But the moral to the story is this. If you want to eat fat, then you need health insurance. People that eat fat get sick. And if you're going to work in a chemical factory someplace, you know, and you're going to work with mercury and DDT and various chemicals and chemical compounds and so on, you need health insurance. I would be the last guy in the world to deny that. So tuck that one away in your heart. Keep that in mind, that when we talk about natural remedies, we're talking about food and food intake. The kind of food that God told you to eat, and avoid the kinds of foods that God told you not to eat. Let's take a look at a disease. We looked at antidotes last time. Let's take a look at a disease like Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease. Here in the encyclopedia, it takes us over here to page 485. Symptoms are a disoriented perception of space and time, inability to concentrate or communicate, and memory loss. This produces depression, agitation, withdrawal, insomnia, irritability, memory loss, personality changes, severe mood swings, and senility. Now, an intriguing early warning sign has been discovered at the San Diego Medical Center. As much as 2 years before mental decline, those patients with Alzheimer's begin to lose their sense of smell. And the rate at which the ability to distinguish strong odors is an indicator of how rapidly an individual will lose mental functioning. But smokers have already lost part of their sense of smell, so the diagnostic test does not work as well when applied to smokers. Here are the causes to Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is a progressive mental deterioration. Memory and thought processes are weakened and disoriented. First described by Alice Alzheimer in 1906, it is a condition of gradual deterioration of the ability to think. It is a slow, progressive wasting of the brain. It gradually shuts off production of vital neurotransmitters, such as, and here's a tough one, acetylcholine, serotonin, dopamine, GABA, noradrenaline, and glutamate. Nerve fibers leading into and out of the hippocampus in the brain become tangled and short-circuited. And as a result, information is no longer carried to and from the brain. New memories cannot be gained and old memories cannot be retrieved. In addition, plaques of a certain protein build up in the brain, damaging nerve cells. And one form of Alzheimer's occurs between 36 and 45. It's very rapid. The more gradual form develops in those who are 65 or 70. Alzheimer's strikes about 5% of those who reach 65 and over 20% of those who reach 85. Simple forgetfulness is not Alzheimer's. If you do not remember your wife's name, that's forgetfulness. If you forget that you have a wife, that's dementia, of which Alzheimer's is a form. Now, there are many disorders which produce similar symptoms. A series of minor strokes, see page 432. Hypothyroidism, page 549. Advanced syphilis, page 630. Arteriosclerosis, page 427. Hardening of the arteries slowly reduces blood flow to the brain. Some of those with Down's syndrome, see page 689, who live to be in their 30s or 40s, develop Alzheimer's symptoms. Now, causes. Causes. And what are the natural remedies to this thing called Alzheimer's disease? Natural remedies. Well, the remedies, the following suggestions, deal with ways to prevent Alzheimer's, which will also help retard its development. Many elderly people are taking 8 or 10 medications a day. The drugging will certainly affect the brain, and you can see the effects of nursing homes across the continent. Add to this a devitalized food of fried, processed, and junk foods, and include plenty of fiber. All right, so let's pause right there and let's think about this for a minute. First of all, Alzheimer's is not something new. It's been around for 100 years. It was first identified and given a name by a guy named Alzheimer. That's why it's called Alzheimer's disease. He saw these symptoms and he says, gee, I think I'll hang my label on it. If I would have discovered, I'd have called it Gordon's disease or Gordon syndrome. And today I'd be famous. See, I'd have the Gordon syndrome. And you'd say, well, people, you know, lose mental ability. So number one, it's been around for a long time. Number two, it's caused by drugs. Why do people take drugs? Well, because they're sick. Why are people sick? Well, because they eat fat. You know, among other things, people eat fat. Fat plugs up your veins, gives you athero and arterial sclerosis. And it contributes to this thing called Alzheimer's disease. So, you know, it's kind of like it feeds on itself. You eat fat and that makes your veins plug up. This gives you memory loss. And so we take some other drugs and we keep adding drugs. You know, pretty soon you're taking 6, 8, or 10 drugs and these drugs start building up in your fatty tissues. They start building up in your brain, you know, like mercury. And pretty soon it starts to clog up the neural connectors that make your brain function. So if you want to avoid Alzheimer's disease, why don't you try avoiding drugs? Drugs, period, all drugs. And that includes the drugs that come from the pharmacy, the doctor, all drugs, get rid of them. Now let's take a look at diet. Folic acid, 5 milligrams a day, helps control homocysteine levels, which become too high in Alzheimer's patients. Adequate income of calcium, 1,500 milligrams a day, reduces aluminum absorption. Magnesium, 800 milligrams a day, works with calcium. Vitamin A and E are antioxidant vitamins, which are also important. And in addition to shielding neurons from free radicals, vitamin E, 4 to 800 international units, also regenerates areas on neurons where neurotransmitters enter. Now, your neurotransmitters are chemicals that relay messages from one neuron to another. Vitamin C, 500 to 1,000 milligrams daily, and flaxseed oil, 1 tablespoon daily is needed. Those with Alzheimer's have low levels of vitamin B12 and zinc, so you need 30 milligrams of zinc in your body. All the B-complex vitamins are important. Take thiamine, 3 to 8 grams daily. Those who undergo a trial of intensive nutritional therapy, especially B12 injections, may ward off the developing problem. Just injections of B12. Think what you could do if you were to keep your immune system up and functioning at its full capacity all the time. Instead of waiting until symptoms develop, what if you just took the bull by the horns and said, gee, I think I'll quit eating poison and start eating good food and see what happens. Well, that's a wild new concept. Now, coenzyme Q10, 200 milligrams daily, is vital for producing energy in neurons and throughout your body. Those with Alzheimer's tend to have a strong craving for sweets, but such a craving is frequently an indication of a food hunger for vitamins and minerals, especially calcium. Free radicals are another factor. Avoid foods which contain free radicals. Well, you know, I could get into free radicals, but why don't I leave that for you and just look up free radicals here in the encyclopedia. This is the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, and find out what foods or what things you might eat have these free radicals and then avoid that. Here's heavy metals. Other causes of Alzheimer's disease includes heavy metals in the body. One in particular stands out. When you hear the words Alzheimer's disease, think of it as aluminum disease. For this is what it often is. Autopsies on persons who died with Alzheimer's reveal accumulations of up to 10 times the normal amount of aluminum in the nerve cells of the brain, up to 50 times in certain parts. Significantly, especially high concentrations are in and around the hippocampus. Rats given aluminum develop identical symptoms to Alzheimer's. See aluminum poisoning on 598 for more information. I'm going to pause right here. Now think about aluminum disease. And what is it that they put soda pop in? Isn't that an aluminum can? And do you remember the toxicity, or I should say the acidity of the Coca-Cola? I mean, it's down around 2.8, something like that. 7 is neutral. The only thing that's more acid than Coca-Cola is sulfuric or hydrochloric acid, battery acid. I mean, come on, guys. Let's start thinking about that. See, this highly acid product called Coke is put into an aluminum can, and then it sits in there for a month or two or 6 months or whatever, and then you drink this, and you drink 3 or 4 of these a day, and this goes on for years and years and years, and pretty soon your body develops 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 times the normal amount of aluminum in your brain, which then we call this heavy metal toxicity. Now, don't let me tell you not to drink Coke, and especially not to drink Coke out of a can. But, you know, when people develop Alzheimer's disease, they are the proximate cause of their own injury. Remember, all of the stuff that causes these diseases entered your body through your mouth, And you bent your elbow, and you sipped off of that Coke, you know, you Coke suckers, and you opened your mouth and you poured it in. There wasn't somebody knocking you down, you know, and slapping you silly and then opening your mouth and pouring it down your gut. You know, that didn't happen, now did it? You did it voluntarily. Now, people will oftentimes justify themselves, and they will say, well, I didn't know. I was ignorant. Okay. But now you're not ignorant anymore. Now you know. I just told you. And I also told you where to get the information in case you thought I was lying to you, didn't I? So you can find out just like I do. And I don't want you to think I'm callous now. I have the same kind of empathy for people whose children have autism or whose elderly parents have Alzheimer's disease. But the difference is that here on the Law Hour, our job is to tell you, here's what the cause and effect relationship is. I'm not here to tell you how to live your lives. I mean, you're an adult. We assume that you're smart enough to figure out how you want to live. But like the man I described who said to me, nobody's going to tell me what to eat. Okay. But then, you know, when you come down with Alzheimer's disease or some other degenerative disease later on, you know, don't call me on the phone and cry in your beer and say, oh my God, look what's happened to me. Now, aluminum disease is what this is called, for this is what it often is. Autopsies on persons who died with Alzheimer's reveal accumulations of up to 10 times the normal amount of aluminum in the nerve cells. So don't use aluminum cookware. If you have aluminum pots and pans, throw them out. Use stainless steel or glass. Do not use aluminum foil on your food. I mean, I know they sell it in the grocery store, and it's real handy stuff, and it covers the leftovers. But it contributes to the accumulation of aluminum in your body. Do not take buffered aspirin and certain antacids. You know, when you're taking these, you got acid reflux disease, you got this, you need Tums for the tummy. Okay, well, they're full of aluminum. And so here's a guy who, you know, for the last 25 years has been sucking up Tums, and he's been using buffered aspirin and cooks in aluminum cookware, and then one day comes down with Alzheimer's disease, and everybody's looking like, oh my God, what causes this? It isn't that the cause isn't known, it's that the cause is not widely transmitted. It's not widely disseminated. We know what causes it. We know, you know, look, the people who wrote this book here are a couple of medical doctors. You know, the foremost researchers in the medical field are allopathic medical doctors. These people know what caused these diseases, but they're entrepreneurs. We don't want to tell you how to cure it or prevent it. If we did that, it would impact upon our incomes. We're not going to tell you what causes cancer. There's no money unless you get cancer. An allopathic medical doctor doesn't make any money until you get sick. Now, once you get sick, well, then there's money to be made. Now, those with Alzheimer's also have high levels of mercury in their brain, so beware of amalgam dental fillings. Mercury from the fillings gradually passes into the body and over a period of time accumulates in the brain. All right, Alzheimer's patients have high concentrations of aluminum and mercury in their brains. Okay, so what does that tell us? Let's avoid those mercury fillings. If you've got mercury fillings in your head, you go to the dentist and you say, take them out. And he'll argue with you, and he'll piss and moan and groan, and he'll say you're stupid and dumb and one thing and another, and you agree with him. Say, you know, doc, you're probably right. I'm just dumb, and that's why you're a doctor, and that's why I'm a layman. But I'm the guy with the money, and I want these fillings taken out and porcelain put in their place. See how simple that is? Zinc may be another problem mineral. The recent lab research indicates that zinc alone of the 26 metals tested made human proteins clump together and form amyloid, the destructive substance that builds up in the brain of Alzheimer's patients. Here's some other points. Stop using alcohol, tobacco, and nicotine. The smoking doubles the risk of getting Alzheimer's. Okay, so smoking doesn't help you any, boys and girls. Women with Alzheimer's have lower estrogen levels than normal. DHA acid is a fat which helps retain brain function. Do not mistake it for DHEA, that's a hormone. Take 100 milligrams of DHA, which is manufactured from microlage daily. Chelation therapy, page 596, may be able to help Alzheimer's patients. I got to tell you a little something here about chelation here. I had some plaque in my arteries. You know, that stuff that's caused by eating fat, drinking pasteurized milk. And I needed to get it out. So I went to a doctor in Springfield, and he gave me this intravenous chelation. And it's, I don't know, $100 a treatment, and you go in there for 20 or 30 of those, and it costs you $2,000 to $3,000. Well, $2,000 to $3,000 is a lot better than $100,000 for Roto-Rooter, you know, bypass surgery and things like that. So they totally cleared out my veins. And I mentioned to you a couple of times how that was accomplished. So why don't you think about that? You know, if you've got Alzheimer's, if you're, you know, you're going along in your life, once the Alzheimer's starts destroying the nerve fibers in your brain, they can't be replaced. The connections that tell you when your birthday is in the year are there, and they're hooked up. And when something gets in there and breaks them apart, then you're not going to be able to remember that. So Alzheimer's isn't something that you get, and then after that, after a while, you know, you come back and regenerate your liver or regenerate your brain. Once it's gone, it's gone. So Alzheimer's has to be prevented. I mean, you got to get off your dead duff and go do something constructive right now. Now, here are some herbs that are good for Alzheimer's. Ginkgo biloba is one of the best herbs for preserving memory. See Memory Improvement, page 483, and Memory Problems, page 484. Many studies have been done on ginkgo biloba. It's an extract. It helps delay mental deterioration, especially in the early stages of Alzheimer's. But in later stages, it has been found to be of very little value. So, you know, if we can get at you before you've forgotten all these things and we can preserve those neuroconnectors, that's a lot better than once they've been destroyed. Now, the Chinese use Asian ginseng, 100 to 200 milligrams daily. St. John's wort helps calm people who anger easily. And rosemary, horse balm, choline. And there's a number of organic, you should be using organic, herbs, vitamins, and minerals to treat Alzheimer's disease with, probably better than the drugs being developed by the pharmaceutical industry. Remember, none of these things that are mentioned here in this encyclopedia are patentable. You can buy them anywhere. You can grow them in your own garden. Many of these things we have here in our own herb garden. Now, of course, I know a lot of you people are going to say, well, I don't want to grow these things, and I don't want to go through all of this hassle. Well, okay. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Live your life. the way that it pleases you. And then when you get Alzheimer's disease, always remember that you're the guy that caused it. You should write that down because you might not be able to remember that you're the guy that caused it. All right, let's take a look at another nasty disease called autism. It's on page 501. And this autism is about to be revealed for the criminal activity that it is. Primarily, autism didn't occur 100 years ago. I imagine there must have been a case or two around caused by poisoning of babies or infants. But it really got started in the 1960s and 70s when we started increasing the number of vaccinations required to go to school. And so people in good faith thought that, well, I need to go get my child vaccinated. And after all, I've been to public school and I had my vaccinations and they didn't hurt me and they're probably good. And everybody says how good they are. And so I'm gonna have my vaccinations for my children. Then we noticed that we have this problem that we now label autism. Just recently, I think it was last year, California outlawed mercury in the vaccines. It's probably not the vaccine that causes the autism. It's probably the mercury in the vaccine that caused the autism. Remember that mercury is a neurotoxin, and it affects brain and brain development. And chelation is the methodology whereby you get these poisons out of your body. And charcoal is a chelation agent. Charcoal will take these toxins and poisons out of your body. But chelation therapy will do the same thing, and it does it a lot faster. I've often wondered, why is it, or I haven't seen any evidence or information on this, but why don't we test chelation on these metals, heavy metals, like mercury, to see if we can't take that mercury out of these children's brains and out of their bodies and see if that doesn't have a beneficial impact upon autism. Why don't you mull that one over for a minute, and let's give you a couple of reminders. And we'll be back with more on natural remedies from the Natural Remedy Encyclopedia. Now, you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It's open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults in compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log, schedule, and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, economics, science, education, health, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, just call the Law School direct, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications so endorsed or recommended are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour and editorial review are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review either. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the opinions and beliefs of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org or call the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about autism. From the book, and that's a big, heavy-duty, thick book, it's 840 pages, called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, written by Vance Farrell, and Edgar E. Archbold, M.D., and Harold M. Chern, M.D. This is the fourth edition. More than 11,000 inexpensive home remedies. That's right, 11,000 inexpensive home remedies, and it covers 730 diseases and disorders. Now, that's 730 diseases, of which we're talking about autism right now. Well, the symptoms of autism are very obvious before the age of 3. A marked unresponsiveness to people and surroundings, indifference to affection, and withdrawn into oneself. Sometimes strange actions, such as pounding feet while sitting or continual rocking back and forth, silent sitting for long periods of time, bursts of hyperactivity while he bites or pounds on his body. Some of the key early symptoms are these. He does not babble at 1 year of age. He begins developing language, then stops abruptly. The child does not respond to his name, but has normal hearing, does not point to things to direct his mother's attention, avoids eye contact and cuddling. causes. Well, there are about 100,000 autistic children in America today. They look normal in appearance, but they have weak contact with reality. In addition to the above symptoms, they have learning disabilities and are often mentally disabled. It is a rare few who have astounding abilities in mathematics or music. We call these savants. Nutritional improvement appears to be the best route for natural treatment. And in some instances, autistic children have recovered, usually during adolescence. Some progress well, but later they lose what was gained. So some children will progress very well and then lose what they have gained. No real hard, fast rule as to how to deal with autism, but nutrition seems to be the best results, and it does produce results, at least in some children. Now, most people, when their children have autism, will go to the medical facilities and go through the medical regime. Now, the medical doctor will tell you plainly he doesn't know what causes it. That's really a lie. He knows what causes it. It's the mercury in the vaccines, but he's going to deny that he knows what causes it, because if he were to admit, think about it. Let's just be intelligent people. Let's suppose you went to your pediatrician and you said, "Now, Mr. Pediatrician, my child has autism. Can you tell me what caused it?" And the pediatrician says, "Well, yes, you know those 35 vaccinations that I gave your child and charged you $25 with and paid for my vacation to Jamaica. Well, those vaccinations all contained mercury, and that mercury has caused your child to have autism. It only happens in about 1 out of 1,000 children, and yours is one of them." Wouldn't you sue that pediatrician? Wouldn't you seek to get some kind of damages against somebody that did that and knew what he did? So doctors aren't dumb people, you know. They're not paying, you know, thousands of dollars a year for malpractice insurance, and insurance companies aren't selling malpractice insurance policies because they're dumb. They all know full well that we have to deny any causal factors whatsoever. So if your doctor killed you on the operating table, he says, "Well, it was natural causes. You know, it wasn't me. It wasn't my mistake." Think how life would be, you know, if everybody had a shmoo. And you looked into the eyes of the shmoo and you said, "Well, I cannot tell a lie. I killed your husband on the operating table through my own negligence, and it's my fault, and I should pay you $3 million and here, let me write you a check." I mean, that isn't going to happen. The other day I was listening to, I think it was on the Lehrer News Hour, and they were interviewing some doctor concerning autism. And this doctor from the CDC, she said there's no scientific evidence that mercury in vaccine causes autism. All right, now let me tell you a little story. Out in California last year, they got to thinking that maybe it does, and so they outlawed mercury in the vaccines in California. Just one state now is taking the bit in the bullet. They bit the bullet, and they said no more mercury in the vaccine. And autism in California has nosedived. It's just dropped off the charts. Now, of course, there's nothing scientific about that. The mere fact that autism has declined because of a change in the makeup or the components of vaccine doesn't prove that mercury caused autism. So the other 49 states, you just continue on. And as the years go by, you will watch, and in California, the incidence of autism will go down dramatically, and in the rest of the states, it'll stay the same or get higher. That's not scientific. Now, I don't think you have to be a Rhodes Scholar to put two and two together. So if you want to keep giving your kids 35 shots, get after it. Don't let me get in your way. But I wouldn't give my children vaccines, and especially vaccines that had mercury in them. Now, let's take a look at natural remedies. The high-fiber diet. Well, this high-fiber diet should be 50 to 75% raw fruits and vegetables. No junk, no processed sugar, dairy, wheat, or white flour foods of any kind should be given to an autistic child. Avoid fried and fatty foods and meat of any kind. Dr. Bernard Rimland, a research psychologist in San Diego, found that 50% of his patients improved when placed on a mega vitamin therapy. So if you have an autistic child, give him a high B-complex supplementation plus other nutritional factors. Now, 50% of this doctor's patients improved when placed on megavitamin therapy. Now, what if we took the megavitamin therapy with chelation therapy and we put this child on a cleansing detoxification routine, and let's get the poisons out of the child's body, let's replace this child's bad food intake with a good food intake, and let's see if we can reverse this out. Now, the causes, there are about 100,000 autistic children in America. They look normal in appearance. But these children, while they look normal in appearance, have a mental disorder. That mental disorder is caused by heavy metals in the brain, primarily mercury. In research studies, the vitamins which especially helped the autistic child were niacin, pantothenic acid, vitamin B6, and vitamin C. When improvement did not occur, additional B6 was given along with magnesium to offset the B6. Then improvement was seen. Now, see the vitamin dosage section of this book. For high dosage amounts, as a result of vitamin therapy, there was a reduction in tantrums, improved speech, better sleep patterns, increased alertness, and greater sociability. As soon as the vitamin therapy ceased, the symptoms returned. All right, now that tells you a little something right there. Could be that autistic children, for some reason, are unable to assimilate vitamins and minerals correctly. And again, has anybody ever thought about detoxification? I know I listen to all these experts, and I don't see anybody say, oh my God, let's put this child on detoxification, get the mercury out of his body and see if it helps him. I think they just leave the mercury in there and give them some kind of shot, some kind of a chemical over here that can be patented, and let them go about their business, and then nothing can be done. Some researchers found that adding magnesium, 10 to 15 milligrams per 2.2 pounds of body weight to vitamin B6, for every 2.2 pounds of body weight, worked better than taking B6 alone. The amounts of B6 and magnesium used for treating autism are very high and have the potential for toxicity. Alan Cott, MD, a New York psychiatrist, gave 200 milligrams of pangamic acid, that's vitamin B15, to autistic children, and decided improvement frequently occurred. Use an elimination diet to test for food allergies. See allergies on page 576. Now here's a special note, autism and vaccinations. The author's book, The Vaccination Crisis, is available from the publishers of this encyclopedia and contains important information about the relationship of MMR vaccinations given to infants and children and the stupendous increase in autism. Now that's measles, mumps, and rubella vaccination called the MMR. And a direct correlation between that particular vaccination and autism. There's a connecting link. The evidence is overwhelming. MMR vaccines are the primary cause of autism. Primary cause of autism, MMR vaccine. Now, the author of this book, whose name is, I want you to write this down, Vance Ferrell, F-E-R-R-E-L-L, and the name of the book here is Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. This same author wrote another book called The Vaccination Crisis. I want you to write that down, The Vaccination Crisis. Now let me back up and let me give you the name address of the publisher of this book, and that is Harvest Time Books, all one word, Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. Here it is again. Published by Harvest Time Books, H-A-R-V-E-S-T-I-M-E Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. Home remedies for more than 730 diseases and 11,000 cheap, simple, inexpensive home remedies. The same kind of home remedies that my old granny used to give me when I was a little tyke. My granny was a pretty smart old lady, and she was so smart, she just had smarts exuding from her all over. I mean, just all over her body, smarts were just exuding from her. And she could treat all kinds of crazy things, you know, like pneumonia. You know, there was pneumonia before penicillin. In fact, there are a number of antibiotic herbs. Antibiotic herbs. There are antibiotic herbs that will treat viral diseases. Now, no antibiotics that are out here in the allopathic medical practice can deal with the flu or viral infections, like HIV, but there are herbs that can't. So I'm going to talk to you about herbs. We'll probably get into that next time. Herbs, 126 most important herbs, of which garlic is right up there at the top, and it has a chemical in it called germanium, and this chemical over here kills viruses. Penicillin doesn't kill a virus, but germanium does, and you get it in garlic, but it has to be raw garlic. I know, bad breath. It has to be raw, because once it's cooked, it destroys the enzyme that is needed to make the germanium work. I know it's kind of crazy. I call it the miracle of evolution. The miracle of evolution is, it's a miracle as to how these things just put themselves together accidentally by happenstance over long periods of time, billions and billions of years, with no intelligent thought going into any of these remedies. Now, there's some of us that are kind of crazy, and we believe in God, and we think that there's an intelligence behind this and that this was designed this way. And this guy wrote a book called The Vaccination Crisis. It's available from the publishers of this encyclopedia. I gave you the name and number. And I said that this autism is caused by the MMR vaccine. And he wrote a book on that subject. And he can do that, see, because he's a medical doctor. Edgar E. Archbold, MD, and Harold M. Chern, MDC. You have to have that MD behind your name, or you can't prescribe. You can't diagnose. You can't have an opinion because you're not a trained professional. You're stupid. You're dumb. Ignorant. But every once in a while, we get one of these smart guys with an MD behind his name. He comes forward and he says, well, let me tell you what's causing this. Let me tell you what the problem is, and let's see if we can't fix it. So I came on the air and I said, well, let me tell you about Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. Let me see if I can't get you to buy a copy. I don't make anything off of this. I don't know these people. I never met any of these authors. Never talked to them. Don't know jack squat about them. But I have a number of books similar to this, and I think this is probably one of the best, most comprehensive treatises on disease and what causes it and how to treat it naturally at home, like my granny used to do. My granny knew about garlic. My granny knew about herbs, and she had an herb garden, and she'd go out there, and she'd cut stuff out of there, and she'd bring it in, she'd cook it and steep it, and she'd give it to you and say, here's the medicine that you need. And she was most often pretty correct. Now, serious problems can occur when children, especially small children, are vaccinated, and of these, the rubella German measles vaccine is especially dangerous. It's a standard part of the MMR, measles, mumps, and rubella combination vaccine. A 1998 research study published in the British medical journal called The Lancet News Magazine, reveals that the MMR vaccine could be a cause of that terrible condition known as autism. Now, that's published in the Vaccination Crisis, page 139. One of the earliest vaccines introduced for general use in the United States was the pertussis vaccine for whooping cough in the 1940s. Autism, a form of childhood schizophrenia characterized by mental retardation, mutinous inability to speak, and a lack of responsiveness to human contact, was not known or described until 1943. Got that, boys and girls? Before vaccinations, we didn't have autism. Now, about the same time that vaccinations were introduced, and here are some of the latest facts on this. This is called the Wakefield-Walker-Smith study. In a 1998 study of 12 children in Britain, all 12 had intestinal problems and had suddenly lost language skills. The 9 were diagnosed as definitely autistic. The significant part is this, that in the case of 8 of the children, parents or a doctor noticed the problems developed shortly after the child had received the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, page 138 and 139. Now, the Wakefield-O'Leary study, in a separate British study in the summer of 2001, scientists uncovered additional evidence that the MMR vaccine is primarily responsible for autism. Vaccination Crisis, page 141. The Singh report on MMR and autism in late September 2002, scientists at the Department of Biology and Biotechnology in Utah State University, Logan, Utah, reported finding a strong association between the MMR vaccine and the autoimmune reaction believed to play an important role in autism. Vaccination Crisis, page 141. And a 273% increase in autism in California. On April 17, 1999, the California State Department of Developmental Services issued a special report to the state legislature. The report entitled Changes in the Population of Persons with Autism and Preventive Development Disorders in California Developmental Services System 1987 and 98 revealed a shocking increase in the number of children with autism in California. In the past 10 years, California has had a 247% increase in the number of children with autism who enter the developmental services system. In 1,685 new cases last year alone, and that is generally considered a rare condition, is increasing faster than any other developmental disability in California. The complete report is available from the California State Department of Developmental Services in Sacramento. Now, while the increase in other child disability problems has been 50% for autism, it has been 273%. I should back up. While the increase in other child disability problems has been 50%, comma, for autism, it has been 273%, or about five times greater. This figure does not include data for the more than 13,000 children in the Early Start program or for 0 to 3-year-olds. In 1987, there were 2,778 cases of autism in California. In 1998, it was 10,360. Now, that's a 272.93% increase. You'll read that in the Vaccination Crisis, page 144 and 145. Do not let your child be vaccinated. Our book, Vaccination Crisis, tells you how, in most states, you can avoid vaccination. Well, I'd say amen to that, and I'm not even religious. And so keep in mind that there's a cause and effect relationship with this autism. Furthermore, there is a treatment regimen, natural herbs, vitamins, and minerals for autism, coupled with chelation, I think might reverse it out. Why don't you think about it and give it a try if you're one of those unfortunate few that may have an autistic child. All right, so let me put a little circle around autism, number 11 here, and let's take a look at asthma on page 580. A lot of people have asthma. I did a program here on asthma. Primarily, this doctor from Iran discovered that asthma can be treated with just plain water. Thank God that I'm not making that diagnosis or recommendation or prescription. Just plain water. What happens is that these antihistamines that people are taking is what causes, or is a cause, not necessarily the only, but a cause of asthma. And by flushing your system out with loads and loads of water, I mean drink a lot of water, plain ordinary H2O, just ordinary plain garden variety water, and your asthma will go away. If it doesn't go away, here's some information that you may not have known. Asthma is a serious respiratory disorder, but since 80% of asthma problems are caused by allergies, the large section dealing with it is located here instead of in the chapter on respiratory diseases. Symptoms: difficult breathing, coughing, wheezing, tight chest. Attacks of multiple symptoms can occur suddenly or gradually. Sometimes there's coughing with thick, persistent sputum that may be clear or yellow. There is a feeling of suffocation. Children often have coughing and vomiting episodes. Causes. Asthma is a lung disease that results in blockage of the airways. During an asthma attack, the muscles around the bronchi, the small passageways of the lungs, tighten and narrow, making it difficult for air to leave the lungs. The chronic inflammation and excessive sensitivity of bronchi produce those constricting spasms. The bronchial tubes swell and become plugged with mucus. An attack, often occurring at night, usually begins as a non-productive cough and wheezing. This is often followed by difficult breathing and a tight chest. After a few hours, it subsides. But what causes this attack to come on? Well, only certain people have asthma. Those who do may have an attack triggered by an allergen or other irritant, such as chemicals, drugs, dust mites, feathers, food additives, pollutants, fumes, mold, animal dander, tobacco smoke. But other things can also do it. Anxiety, fear, laughing, stress, low blood sugar, adrenal disorders, temperature changes, extremes of dryness or humidity, or respiratory infections. About 80% have an allergic disorder, but others do not. And the experts warn that ever-increasing amounts of pollutants will cause the number of asthmatics to increase, and many workers must continually live with such things as sulfites, urethane, polyurethane, epoxy resins, dry cleaning chemicals, and many other chemicals common to industry. In the last decade alone, the number of asthmatics in America has increased by one-third. Children under 16 and adults over 65 suffer most from it. Did you get that? There's been a one-third increase in the number of asthmatics in America over the past 10 years. Hey, boys and girls, that's pushing an epidemic, isn't it? Now, they go on to tell you over here that there's a treatment and diet to use, and a methodology like exhaling forcefully and breathing exercises, that when you sit on the couch, you use 10% of your respiratory ability. But when you stand up and do exercises, you use 50% of your respiratory system. So to strengthen your respiratory system, it's just like, you know, squeezing a tennis ball before you get out there to milk the cow. It strengthens the muscles. And there are legitimate treatments, and not quack off-the-wall treatments, just normal, everyday, garden-variety treatments, besides drugs and chemicals. Now, asthma has been around for a long time. It's not something that just cropped up recently, but this one-third increase in asthmatics in just 10 years should be an alarming signal to all of us. Now, let me give you the name and number of this book again. Remember the name of the book. It's called Natural Remedies Encyclopedia. You can get a copy of it by writing to the publisher, which is the Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. Again, that's Harvest Time Books, Box 300, Altamont, Tennessee, 37301. We're reviewing the Natural Remedies Encyclopedia, 11,000 home remedies, 730 disease disorders. I've already showed you how to do about 50 that you can cure now by yourself. And get this, you're not even a doctor. All right, we're almost out of time. I got to give you a couple of reminders here. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Don't forget to order yours. Just call the Law School, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, health, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. All right, I'm out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.